A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. Happy New Year, Melissa.
Happy New Year.
Hope it.
Welcome back, 2020, guys.
That's crazy. I mean, I'm sure everyone's been talking about how crazy it is the last like 2 weeks or whatever, but I'm telling you, I just remember being in high school and being like, oh, someday when I have kids, they're going to be graduating in like 2028. I'm going to be dead.
Yeah, I know. It is crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if you have any announcements before I jump in.
Well, I was going to talk about Patreon, but if you're going to do it, you can.
No, totally. Talk about Patreon.
Okay, guys. So we dropped this episode today. It is January 6th. If you are Patreon, you got it yesterday, January 5th.
Good for you guys.
And also, for those of you that don't know, we did release our first Patreon episode as well. We're going to try to get it out on the same day as the first episode of the month, if that makes sense. And for those of you that don't know the case, I'm going to say it. If you don't know it, you really need to go listen to it. And then you need to go lose yourself on Google and YouTube for an hour. But the first Patreon case is the Delphi murders. Mm-hmm. And it's a doozy. It is really the first case to give me the actual creeps.
Honestly. And I want to tell you why it gives me the creeps, but I don't want to give it away
yeah.
for anybody at all. But I promise you, I mean, I really do. This is absolutely crazy. If you're listening to it alone, like, you're going to go lock your doors. It's nuts.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So, that being said, that's all we're going to talk about on Patreon. We released a little teaser, or not a teaser, like I guess an overview right. of what Patreon is. Go listen to that. Always reach out to us if you have any questions. The Patreon link is in the show notes. So, yeah, that's what I got for that.
There you go. All right. So, are you ready for the first case of the new year?
I am. Good. I'm excited for it.
Good. I'm super glad. So I'm going to talk to you today about Jacob Cavanaugh, and this case was one of those accidental, which I feel like is happening a lot lately, but these accidental things that I just run across when I'm, you know, searching the internet, you know, lying in bed at 3 a.m. trying to solve cases. You know?
I understand that life.
Yeah, so I stumbled across this on Reddit, and there was a whole bunch of information. You know the rabbit holes you go down on Reddit. So I'm like, this is an awesome case. There's so much material. I went and I looked and there was hardly anything. And to be completely honest with you, the most help that I got for putting this story together was from the family's Facebook page and probably the Charlie Project.
I was going to say, I always start with the Charlie Project. I feel like they will give me the facts. And then obviously you have to build from there because it's not usually a ton.
Right.
But I always start with them because I feel like they have a really good, like, handle on it.
Right. And I agree with you. The disadvantage of, like, working this way backwards is that, like, you're like, oh, my God, there's so much information. I'm going to be able to, like, talk about it like this is, I don't know, like O.J. Simpson or something. But then you get into it and you're like, wow, this is really hard. But you're already invested. You already know who this person is. And you're like, I can't quit on them.
Right. And that's part of it, too. Like, and a lot of, we say it's a lot of what we do is we want to make sure bringing attention and still, you know, bringing awareness to these things. And we legitimately feel like we are working for the person. Like, if we can come up with the best theory, maybe like someone will listen and go, oh, my gosh, I know something. And then from there, it snowballs.
Yeah. And there's something really personal or at least you feel closer to the case when you're reading like the timeline on the family's Facebook page, because mm-hmm. then you're like, not that I ever thought people weren't human, don't get me wrong at all, but it is like you're closer to the emotional stuff. And
oh, 100%. And that was a lot of what we talked about around the holidays, too, is like we sit here and we talk about these cases and that's what they are. They're cases, you know, but like it's not easy to just like it's really easy to get wrapped up in the story and the drama of it all.
Yeah.
But then when you pause for a second and you're like, this is someone's mom, dad, sister, husband, whatever, like this family is hurting for this person. And it kind of grounds you in reality a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't believe that I could ever understand the magnitude of pain that people feel and fear when a loved one goes missing. But I try to imagine. I really do. And
I just think about the lack of closure for them. Like, and I'm in no way trying to minimize anyone else's pain. But, like, if there's a death, whether it be a car accident, a murder, a heart attack, whatever it might be, like, there's some finality to it. And it's, you can sort of, like, put the date on stone, literally.
Yes.
And then move forward. You know, it's before that date and after that date, and you have a place where your life changed. Well, for these families, they don't know. That would destroy me.
Yeah,
the not knowing.
Because it's like, do I start the grief process? And this is one of many issues. Like, do I start the grief process? Do I hold out hope? And if I start one or the other, then you have you feel guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we could go on and on forever.
On and on and on. And these are conversations Amy and I legitimately have regularly.
Yeah, for sure. Welcome to our brain.
Yes.
So I'm going to get on with it. Sorry for rambling. So like I said, I'm going to talk to you about Jacob Kavanaugh. And there wasn't a whole lot about his background that I found. But what little I was able to come up with, I'm going to let you know.
Okay.
So Jacob was born on October 6th of 1978. Now, he was from a huge family. He was the seventh out of 10 kids, which is overwhelming to me. Jacob was likable. He had friends and he went to school. You know, nothing significant happened. Like, I didn't read about, you know, family divorces, conflict, really anything like that. So he eventually goes into the National Guard and he gets married and he has two children. So I don't know if he got married and went to serve or if he served and then got married. I guess it really doesn't make a difference. All you need to know is that both happened.
Okay.
He has these two children, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, they do divorce. I do know that later down the line, his ex-wife is an advocate, at least in some way, shape, or form, to find out what happened to Jacob. So it seems to me they're amicable enough, or that there is, you know, maybe they weren't meant to be married, but there is some respect and love there.
That's fair.
Yeah. So before Jacob's disappearance, he was working at an auto garage, and he was living with his mom in Grand, Michigan. And this is near Traverse City. So I definitely had to draw myself a map that looks like a kindergartner's mitten.
Okay.
Honestly, because I can't draw, but this is really like what I needed to do to conceptualize things.
So well, I'm going to do it now too. So go ahead.
Great. So if you know, Michigan is split into two parts. So I'm only going to talk about in layman's terms, basically like the right hand side of Michigan as opposed to the left hand side separated by one of the Great Lakes. And about northern part of this area in Michigan is Traverse City.
And so like the top of the pinky finger.
Thank you. Yes. Well done.
Right?
I'm glad that you're looking at an actual map. Yes. And then south of Traverse City is Grand, where he lives. And it's all kind of like suburbs, I would think, of Traverse City. So the distance is not that far. It sounds like a place that you drive to and from at your leisure.
Okay.
On March 31st, 2010, it's a normal day. Jacob goes to work at the garage. No one reports anything suspicious. He seems in typical Jacob fashion, you know, pretty good spirits. And after work, roughly around 4, I believe, he plays disc golf with friends. So if you don't know what disc golf is, which I didn't up until like a year ago, it's really just golf with frisbee. And there is a huge following. Like, there are people that play and they have sponsors. So it's kind of a big deal in that small sector. And his friends report that he was in good spirits and nothing was wrong. So one of his friends drops him off at a light pole. And this is actually how it's referred to in some of the things that I read. And all I can really assume is that, like, this is the place that he parked his car so that he could drive home from there. Do you know what I mean? Like a meeting place so his friend wouldn't have to drive
home. What do you say? Like, meet me at the 4th light pole?
I guess. That's kind of what I gathered from this. But what we do need to know is that it's not his home, it's not his work, it's just the place that he was dropped off. This isn't the end of the story, but this is the last time that anyone has physically seen him, you know, in person on that day. This is
as opposed to seeing a ghost?
Well, I'll get to there. There's no ghosts, I promise you that, but this is the last time someone was face-to-face with him that he knew.
That he knew?
Yes.
Okay, so other people have potentially encountered him?
Well, maybe.
Okay.
But his friends and family, that's the last time that he was seen. And this is around 7 p.m.
Okay.
Whatever happens after he was dropped off between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., we don't really know. At 9 p.m., Jacob is seen on surveillance in Buckley making a $5 purchase. And this was confirmed. So, like I said, Traverse City is the most north, and that's where he was dropped off. Grawn is where he lived with his mother, and just south of Grawn is Buckley. And this is where he made a $5 purchase. It's confirmed on credit purchases, and it's confirmed on surveillance.
Okay, so if he started in Traverse City, is that where he played disc golf?
Or at least around there. That's where he was dropped off.
So he drove past his house and kept going south to Buckley.
Yes. And I don't know. Okay. You know, he could have stopped home. I don't know really what the situation was with him and his mother. Like, he could have dropped in and she might not have been home. We don't know. We just know that at 9 p.m. he's seen on surveillance. And yes, he drove.
What was he buying?
Braun. I don't think that it was confirmed.
Okay.
9 p.m., that's when that takes place. At 1 o'clock a.m., Jacob calls.
This is it, April 1st?
Accurate, yes.
Okay.
I'm glad that you're writing this down because it does get...
I am taking notes because I feel like I always want to go back to the timeline, so I want to take notes.
And you should in this case, so I think it's very wise.
Okay.
1 a.m., Jacob calls an automated telephone line, which he does monthly to confirm his student status. So when you're serving in the military, a lot of people do, because in exchange, you'll get money towards college tuition, which is what he was doing. But what you have to do is you have to call monthly and confirm your status as a student, because if you've dropped down to full-time or you drop down to part-time or you've went up to full-time, really, the military needs to know exactly what they're paying for your tuition, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So this is a monthly thing he knows he has to do, and he does it. This call pings off of a tower in Oklahoma.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's an appropriate response.
I'm changing colors for this note.
Good. You should. So let me say that again.
Hold on. How far is Oklahoma?
I believe when I looked it up, it was roughly 16 hours, and I only gauged that from the border.
Yeah, 16 hours.
All right. So 16 hours away. Don't wrap your mind around this yet, because there's more. At 2 o'clock a.m., he's seen on surveillance in Kalamazoo, Michigan, making a purchase. Now, Kalamazoo is roughly 2.5 hours south of where he was seen in Buckley on surveillance at
And what's
nine.
He buying in Kalamazoo? Do we know that?
He purchases gas.
Okay. So you're right. Kalamazoo to Buckley is 2.5 hours. If he leaves Buckley at 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m., 12 p.m., 1 p.m., 1 a.m. rather, that's 5 hours. Okay.
It's literally impossible.
Well, I'm not even worried about that. I'm more concerned about, like, when he was at 9 p.m., he was in Buckley. At 2 a.m., which is 5-8 hours later, he's in Kalamazoo. But that's a 2.5 hour drive.
Correct.
So where are the other 2.5 hours?
Melissa?
Well, obviously, it was just a quick jaunt to Oklahoma. Right?
Realistically, could you fly there? Check in at an airport?
No. Not in 2 hours.
See, this, yeah. Oh, let me, there's a little bit more. So let me tell you.
And I feel like the only airport around would be Detroit. And I don't think that's a quick airport.
No, Detroit is all the way east, I believe.
Oh, you're right. So there's got to be a smaller one. Okay. But still, no, I don't think you're I don't know.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you keep talking.
So I'm glad you pointed out the date because that was April 1st.
Right. We're 2 a.m. now on April 1st.
Correct. So nothing happens on the 2nd. On the 3rd, Jacob's card is used at a Fort Worth gas station. Then it's used again in Sweetwater. And let me just clarify that Fort Worth is in Texas.
Where is Sweetwater?
Sweetwater is also in Texas.
How far are they from Kalamazoo?
I would suspect like 26 hours, I believe. If I
Kalamazoo to Fort Worth is 16.
Oh, okay. So a little bit Kalamazoo to Fort Worth, Texas?
Is 16. Now, we didn't go through Oklahoma. So, does he know anyone in this?
He has a brother that is stationed, because he's in the military too, in Texas. That is the only connection that anyone has been able to find. But I wasn't able to find anything that said or quoted his brother as saying, yes, I spoke to my brother, I knew it was coming. I mean, the family is still scratching their head like, Texas, that means nothing to us.
So if you went from Kalamazoo to Fort Worth and then to Sweetwater, okay, that's a 19-hour drive, okay?
Right.
So if he left Kalamazoo at 2 a.m. on the 1st and drove straight through, we're looking at like 9 p.m. the night of the 1st. Realistically, he didn't drive straight through. He slept. He went to the bathroom. You know what I mean? He stopped. So maybe early morning hours of the 2nd, but his card isn't used till the 3rd.
And the gas issue, too.
What do you mean?
How would he not stop at all for gas?
Oh, because he didn't use his card.
Right. Let me tell you a couple of other nothing's minor, by the way. A couple of details are that when Jacob was using his card that day, he was actually overdrafting, which means like he didn't have funds in his account to cover, but because he has like an overdraft protection through his bank, the bank covers what you're using. Basically, if you don't know what that is, which I think most people do, but when you're overdrafting and you have that protection, the bank will cover you, but you have to pay it back. So it's like basically like a line of credit. So he's overdrafting at this point. And his check is deposited later in the week, but after that, it's not touched. The last piece that I want to throw out there for you, if you're not overwhelmed enough, is that Jacob's car was never found till this day.
What?
That's right. It was never found. Like, it's not like a weapon or something goes missing. And it's like a needle in a haystack. This is like a car. Never been recovered.
I don't understand. Where did it go?
Girl, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. So what does law enforcement and all that think? Like, is there like, oh, well, this is what we've deduced?
Well, when Jacob wasn't obviously responding and he, you know, was clearly missing, family and friends reached out to the authorities, and the authorities kind of didn't take it seriously. He's an adult. He can basically leave on his own accord whenever he wants.
Except for his military, right?
Well, that's true, too. But
so, I mean,
if
military
I had to,
can't just leave.
If I had to suspect, you know, unfortunately, an adult male isn't going to garner the same response that perhaps a female would, or obviously a child or a teenager.
Teenagers are all runaways.
That's what they say. So they were kind of pushing for law enforcement to do more. They're like, this isn't him. You know, he doesn't have any real mental health issues or anything like that.
Did he have access to cash?
No. I mean, nothing that was reported. He had the nothing that was in his account.
Yeah, that doesn't help. So yeah, but I didn't know if, like, he got paid and made a withdrawal and then was just using his debit card because he knew he could overdraft.
There's no evidence that he, like, took a whole bunch of money out before.
Okay.
And his family's like, listen, he's in the military. He's thinking about enlisting. I don't know what the term would be, not full time, but he's enlisting active duty. That's it. I'm sorry. He's
going
active
duty.
He has two children. He's going to school. And I believe one of his siblings was even like, he was at my house earlier this week working on a paper. If he was going to leave or if he was going to end his life or something, I highly doubt that he'd be working on a paper.
I will vouch for that. I just finished grad school, and there is no chance if I was like, I'm not going to be here, that I would have written a paper for fun.
You could barely get me to do a paper when my goal is to graduate school. So
you're preaching to the choir.
So
yeah, no chance.
It didn't really fit. When his parents found out that he had been seen on surveillance in Texas, they were like, all right, let's look at the tapes. Let's confirm that it's him. According to the Facebook page that the family has, what I gather is it took literal like months for the family to be able to see this on surveillance.
But did they confirm it was him?
No. At the end of the day, when the family finally was able to see surveillance, his mother couldn't confirm that it was him. So at the end of the
day. Wait a second. So it may not even have been him in Texas?
Yes, absolutely.
What the hell? So what's the last time we actually know it's him? The 9 p.m. on the 31st?
The last time he was seen and confirmed it was him was on surveillance in Kalamazoo.
Oh, the 2 a.m. purchase.
2 a.m., yes.
Okay, so this is the last time we know it was him.
Yes.
And where was he going?
I mean, no one knows. That's a hike, 2.5 hours south of your home, and no one knows or hears
at
anything about
2
that.
2 a.m.?
At 2 a.m. I mean, and, if I were to go to, like, 2 hours for me is New York, Boston, something like that, I surely would be letting someone know where I'm going. And just to be completely honest, and I'm not proud of this, I'm not the best at checking in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, but he lived at home with his mom, right? He was single,
yes.
Correct?
Yep.
So, like, he may have just been like, whatever, who am I going to tell? My mom?
I mean, sure, but if I was correct in looking back on the day of the week that he left, I believe it was Wednesday. It could have been Thursday, but I'm pretty sure it was Wednesday. I can only suspect working in an auto garage, the schedule is pretty much days during the week. You don't have, like, off during the week. It's not like a nurse's job or anything like that.
Right.
That he was scheduled to work the next day. Why would you not tell anyone, including your boss, that you're taking off the next day or the day after that or spontaneously?
Well, maybe he didn't intend to. I guess, but okay, so hold on. If he went to Kalamazoo and then just planned on going home or something, he may not have been taking the next day off.
Well, that's true. Yes, I would agree with that. I could see that happening.
It's the Texas thing that throws me for a loop.
It really does. But if you've gone that far south and then your stuff's used in Texas, it kind of makes you think that there was an intention to head south. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he is heading south. I can see that. But according to his cell phone, he also went to Oklahoma.
Now, that is the thing that really boggles my mind. And I looked up information on cell phone pings and all that, and it was really a nightmare.
Did you call Susan Simpson?
You know, she was unavailable for my call.
I understand.
So, no.
But no, seriously, like, I'm assuming people have researched it, and what does the cell phone company say?
Well, it was, in essence, confirmed that ping was accurate. Now, take what you will about accuracy. That is what I started Googling, and that was crazy. What I kind of took away was that cell phone pings are accurate within, I think it's 20 to 40 miles.
Okay. Well, I mean, Oklahoma's, what did we say it was? I don't even know how far.
More than 40 miles. And just to add, none of this, you know, the cell phone wasn't recovered nor used ever again after that 1 a.m. call.
Don't worry. Oklahoma is only 940 miles. So if we're off by 40, it's still 900.
It totally throws me because it's a physical impossibility for that phone to have pinged in Oklahoma after he was seen on surveillance at 9 p.m. It leads me to believe or at least question the accuracy of cell phone pings. And
yeah, I mean, I don't think we can use that as valid. Like, I just don't think we can.
I can't.
Because there's surveillance.
Even if someone stole his phone at the gas station at 9 p.m. or, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, was it oddly nice person and knew that he should check into the military at 1? Like, you can't physically get to Oklahoma.
I wonder if he had to check in on the first of the month. And he was like, I'm up, I'm driving, I'll just call school now. Because, like, for me, I try to make all my calls when I'm driving. I have hands free, I'm stuck in a car, I can't do anything, my commute's really long.
Sure.
So, like, if I can make calls and, like, get things done while I'm driving, great.
Well, that totally makes sense to me.
And that would make sense to me, except for the Oklahoma thing. I mean, okay, so I guess my question first is, where are you on that ping? Like, how do you feel about that?
I've given it a lot of consideration, and I can't count it as valid. There's got to be, to me, an error somewhere. I can't find any logical explanation, or actually, for that matter, a not logical explanation for that cell phone ping.
Well, think of, like, the Brian Schaefer case, right? His phone was dead and off. And then one day it rang and it pinged like 12 miles from where his house was.
Right.
And the cell phone company was like, that didn't happen. Like, it couldn't have happened. It was a glitch.
It's funny because I get comfortable with, like, throwing that out. But I'm like, then his stuff is used in Texas. What are the odds?
Yeah, but you wouldn't drive through Oklahoma to go to Texas.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No. So from Kalamazoo, Michigan to go to Fort Worth, Texas, if you're going the fastest route, which is what I would assume you do because it's already, I mean, okay, so I guess you could. Actually, that's a lot. You could. It'd be about 20 minutes longer to go out through Oklahoma, but you could do it. I mean, it still takes 16 hours, but all this missing time is what I want to know about. Like, from the 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., that's a 2.5-hour drive. Why did it take him 5 hours? From the 2 a.m. to Fort Worth is 16-hour drives, and that was nearly 48 hours. Was he alone?
He was alone, yes. Well, I guess I can't rule out that someone else could have been with him. There's no evidence to support either way.
So he was alone on the surveillance footage in Kalamazoo?
Correct.
No one was in his vehicle with him?
Not that has been reported.
Okay. But there's 2.5 hours missing. So it's reasonable that he could have met up with someone.
He could have met up with someone, but that would have had to have been planned way in advance because his phone wasn't used. Or at least it couldn't be traced to anyone.
That's true.
And then there's the piece on how could he have made it all the way to Texas? And let me tell you what kind of car he had. Not that I think any car could have really made it from Kalamazoo or, yeah, Kalamazoo to Texas on a full one tank of gas. So he's driving a 2002 Chevy Malibu. Now,
okay, well, Kalamazoo to Texas is 1,111 miles. I'm looking at it.
I don't know any car that could do that.
No, I mean, maybe a 2019 hybrid.
Maybe.
What is he driving? A 2010 Chevy Malibu?
A 2002.
Oh, 2002. So a 2002 Chevy Malibu gets, when it was sold, so like in its mint condition,
okay,
29 miles to the gallon. Which means to go 1,111 miles at, we'll say 25 miles to the gallon.
Mm-hmm.
He would need 44 gallons of gas. Okay. And look at that. Right underneath it, it says the gas tank fits 14 gallons of gas. So, 14.
Math it out for me, Melissa.
He would need 3 tanks of gas to get from Kalamazoo. Literally, 3.0002.
Okay.
Tanks of gas to get from Kalamazoo to Fort Worth, Texas.
There's literally 2 ways that I can think of that it could have happened that he didn't stop for gas. If, in fact, it was him that took his car to Texas, he either had filled up preemptively empty gas tanks and put them in his trunk.
Okay.
Or
he would need a lot of them because how big are those little gas tanks? Like
5 gallon, maybe.
Okay, so let's say they're 5 gallons, right?
Yep.
He needs 44 gallons, which means he filled out 9 of them.
So not likely. Or he
and
had
then he
a
gets
driver
pulled over, and they're like, "What are you doing?"
Yes, exactly. Terrible. Or someone's with him, and they're using their cash or debit card.
I like that option better.
I mean, I guess someone could have been following him and filling up his tank, but
I mean, you do that with your significant other, not with
but
a random person.
Then again, I would think that he would be seen on surveillance, or at least there would have been footage, at least to bring things into question, if it was him or not.
Well, I mean, what are they going to do, pull every gas station camera on the 2 different routes, and they're both over 1,000 miles? I mean, they're not going to do that.
Well, no, I don't think law enforcement would have the resources to do that. On the other hand, that documentary I just watched.
Yeah.
Don't
right,
F the cat.
Body Movin' and that's the girl's name. Body Movin' and what's the guy's name? John something?
Yes. So this is a Netflix documentary and I'm only referring to it because the lengths that civilians took to locate an internet killer were far beyond anything I can conceive.
Okay, so I'm going to say 2 things about
it. Go ahead.
First of all, I'm not exaggerating. 1, 2, 3. I had 7 people text me and tell me to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay. Second of all, so my background, my first job out of college was in collections. And a lot of what they did is just skip tracing. It's taking like context clues and being like, okay, so how do I get this information? Or how do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
So like it was interesting to me because it's stuff we used to do, not to that extent, I didn't track murderers, but like you say like, okay, they lived at this address. Like, could they have moved here? Whatever, whatever. So it was just really interesting to me. And I thought it was so good. I will recommend it. I will tell you, the first episode was hard to watch because there's some animal violence. I actually had to start it like 3 separate times. And I texted, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of girls I used to work with. And they're the and everyone in the chat was like, watch it, watch it, watch it. And I texted them and I'm like, what are you people telling me to watch? And then I got through it and I was like, well, that was a wild ride.
But the reason I bring that
anyway.
Up is because of just the investigation tactics of civilians were really not trying to put down law enforcement at all. Got some in my family. But I'm just saying that they had the time to do this, and law enforcement usually doesn't. They're very, very busy. So I don't think that the police would have ever had time to locate any possible gas station that Jacob could have stopped at on his route to Texas, alleged route to Texas.
I don't like any of it.
I'm laughing because I 100% agree with you, and I'm so frustrated.
So
I still want to.
Is there a? Where the hell is this car?
So, hang on. I think that I want to rule out that ping as being valid, even though it's strangely coincidental. I just want to.
I can get behind. It's not possible. It is not physically possible, unless he like was alien abducted and beamed down in Oklahoma.
Yeah, like, we've thrown out those theories before. I don't think people like them.
I'm just saying, like, there's no way. It's not possible. Like, it's just not.
It's not possible. Okay, so let's go through this again without that ping.
Okay, go ahead.
So 9 o'clock is valid. Stop at the gas station, $5 purchase. And that's in Buckley. He makes the 1 o'clock phone call. And even though,
which I think is him.
Even though it pings in Oklahoma, and we don't know for sure if it's him, you would have to have,
I think it is.
I think it is, too. You'd have to have intimate knowledge to do that.
Yeah, it would have to be someone he knew to kill him.
Yes.
And doing that to cover their tracks, if that was what happened.
Yes. So, for now, I'm going to take that as valid.
Okay.
At 2 o'clock, he's seen on surveillance in Kalamazoo making a purchase.
Okay.
So far, this, we don't know why, but it makes sense.
And he's tracking south. I mean, he's just tracking south. And I mean, there's a lot of missing time, but.
Yes. But, you know, you could stop. You could sleep. You can. I mean, he had a full day of work. He played sports for several hours in the evening. It's completely valid that he stopped. There's no history that I know of any drug use. So I don't think it's like a Rico Harris where we suspect maybe.
Right. No, that's fair. But I'm just saying, like, he could have gone into a store, although he didn't have any cards. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll just go with it.
So, yes. So he gets to Kalamazoo, gets gas. Now,
do we know, did he, like, fill up his tank in Kalamazoo?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay.
That is the morning of April 1st. On April 3rd, we know his card is used at Fort Worth and Sweetwater gas stations. We can't confirm it's him, but somehow his credit card information got down there to some person down there. So between Kalamazoo and Sweetwater, his car disappears, which is really overwhelming because that's a lot of territory that a car can.
Well, hold on. They can't confirm it's him. Did they confirm it was his car?
They actually generalized just that it wasn't him. So that's a really good question. I didn't see it. If someone else can find that, that'd be really useful. But even
you know
on
what
the
I'm
family
saying, like,
Facebook
if
page, I didn't read anything that was able to confirm that it was his car.
Okay. But you understand my point.
I absolutely do, and I think it's very important.
Okay, so do you think it was him?
I don't. I don't think it was him. I think that it's just horribly coincidental that within the same time frame, he was already heading south, and his cell phone strangely pinged in Oklahoma.
Okay, so you think he was driving south by himself?
I do.
Okay. And then what?
Well, I can't really get behind walking away or ending his life. because of what I've already talked about before. I do think that somehow he met with foul play, whether or not it was accidental, he just ran into some unfortunate circumstances, or it was a premeditated, I don't know, attack of some sort. I don't think that it was outside of Michigan.
Okay, so you just said you thought he was driving south, but you think something happened before he drove south.
I don't know why he was driving to Kalamazoo, no.
Okay.
But I don't think that he got out of Michigan.
Okay. So who drove his car? Well, where is his car? Any idea?
Well, I don't, but I think of the terrain in Michigan, and I'm not an expert by any means, but Great Lakes, I believe there's a lot of untouched terrain. I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, it just feels like there's a lot of places that you can place a car.
So if you drive straight east from Kalamazoo, you end up in St. Joseph, Michigan, which is literally on the water. And it is a 1 hour drive. And then you're on Lake Michigan.
And before people even knew he was really missing and starting to get concerned, that's adequate time to dispose of a car.
Yeah, but what? Someone killed him and took his car and then drove it to Texas and then used his car in Texas?
Potentially.
I think something happened to him in Texas.
You do?
I don't think he was alone either.
Really?
Yeah, someone else's car or money had to have been involved, because how do you get there? How do you drive?
Well, that's really scary if he gets to Texas, because what's to stop anyone from crossing over the border? And then Lord knows what happens to the car.
I mean, that's actually a really good theory. Is there a conversation about what could have happened?
I believe I only read it on Reddit that someone had questioned whether he had, like, been strapped for cash and did a favor for someone, maybe involving drugs, and maybe it...
Well, I mean, that would probably give him cash to use.
Right, it would be...
But then I would assume they would say, don't use your card in Texas either.
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay, hold on. So let's say he is actually running drugs for someone. Okay, let's buy that
Melissa,
for 1 second.
This kills me. Okay.
Let's buy it for 1 second.
Yep.
They're like, all right, I'm going to give you cash for gas and stuff because I don't want you using your card proving you're there. And they also say, don't use your phone because that can ping too. And he says, all right, cool. And then he gets to Texas and is like, screw it, I'm just going to use my debit card.
Or he forgets. It's very easy when you're distracted to... I've done it in checkouts where I'm
twice?
Like, well, maybe. Anything's possible. I mean, I've been at the checkout line distracted and I've... You know, went for my debit card and grabbed my credit card. And then not till I'm walking out, I'm like, darn, I used my credit card.
Yeah, and that's possible. That's fine. But you also weren't in the middle of doing an illicit act with cash to have drugs in your car. Like,
also true.
I feel
and
like
then
be
he's
more
like,
conscious.
I'm just not going to work at the job that pays me money legally and go get this other money that I can make illegally.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can make a lot more.
You can make a lot more, but at what cost? And you're in the military.
You and I are not cut out for jail, so we would have a different opinion.
You want to go active duty, so you're going to take risks?
I mean, I don't know. People are crazy. But no, I think there's someone else involved in whatever it is. I don't know that he didn't leave his life. I don't know that he didn't. Well, I mean, I don't think he left his life. But I mean, who knows? Maybe he's living in Mexico and he's in Tijuana and he's living the high life.
And I hope so. I mean, it's terrible for his family. But I hope that someday that he walks through the door and greets all his siblings and his parents and his children and his ex-wife and the people that love him.
I do. I mean, I don't know why, but I think whatever happened in Texas. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And I am stuck on Michigan. So we're right down the
middle.
All
right, guys. So if anyone wants to tell us, even Oklahoma.
Yep.
Throw it in there. Let us know what you think.
I mean, if someone has something that we missed or what, because this case is so messy. I can't even make sense of it. Usually I can make sense of a timeline and then it's all about why or who, but none of these things bring me to that whatsoever. So if anyone else has anything.
I want to know where the missing time is.
That's a great question.
There's a lot of missing time.
Yeah.
Maybe he met up with Bryce LaPista and they sat on the side of the road for 12 hours.
I mean, again, that would be wonderful for two families.
I mean, at that point, that's just as likely as him becoming a drug runner.
I know. I know. And he sounds like an average person, you know, doing what he's supposed to do, making a better life for himself, comes from a family that cares and loves about him, loves him a lot, friends that love him and adore him. I sincerely hope that there's some answers in this case. So if you have any thoughts or feelings about this, please let us know. Please let us know if you have a different theory.
Yes, please. Gosh. Tell us what you think.
All right. Well, that's all I have for this week, Melissa.
I love it.
Great.
I mean, it's one of the ones where I'm going to go home and lose 3 hours in rabbit holes because I'm going to figure out where the heck all the missing time is.
That's exactly the point. So everyone, have a terrific week. I hope that 2020 has started off great for you, and we can't wait to see you, hear from you, and, you know, meet you next week, same time, same place.
Yes. And go listen to Patreon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.